Here's Kevin Saul, the athletic director at Wichita State University, making his monthly appearance here on our show. Kevin, how are you today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
We're okay. Since we were talking a little music, what's your bent for music? What are you most drawn to?
Man, I am all over the place. I just had the iTunes going, and I'd be embarrassed to tell you, like, literally, I am all over the place. It might be Eagles, Beatles. You might get a little hip hop. You might get a little bit of 60s folk music influenced from my dad. Little bit of oldies, 80s rock. I'm all over the place.
That sounds actually pretty good to me.
Sounds all good to me.
Yeah, I'm with it. So here we are. July just started. It's kind of that period between things. At least that's the perception. For you, what is this period of time like? And for your athletic department, what's going on at Wichita State?
Well, we got a bunch going on. I appreciate you asking. We just finished up the AUX softball, which was 18 home games, all on linear TV, the traditional cable networks. Over the month of June, Brad Pittman and our ops team just did a phenomenal job there. And really the eyes of the softball world were on us for about 3 weeks. So it was really, really good for our program and our softball program and university and obviously the city of Wichita. So appreciate Josh Howell and so many other folks that helped make that happen. And then we're coming up on TBT here pretty soon, guys. And obviously you're well familiar with that event, and we look forward to it. We've got a great schedule, two great brackets, and looking forward to those days ahead. Otherwise, we're in the middle of a lot of fundraising conversations, still working at NIL and trying to shore up recruiting in both softball and baseball. So we got a lot going.
Yeah, just to expand on the softball thing, you know, it's no accident that came to Wichita, that it did really well in Wichita. How do you find Wichita as a burgeoning or maybe even already established softball community, and what can that do for the program at Wichita State?
Well, I think it's really huge, Jeff. It is an established, really supportive group. Youth softball is obviously big in the state and in the region. So we had a lot of youth teams and parents bringing their daughters to the event as well, which mirrors, you know, our home events. We had, 2 years ago, I think we had 6 sellouts. Last year we had a couple. We had 4 sellouts in AUX. So obviously that speaks to the popularity in the community. And I'm just incredibly pleased and gratified that Wichita as a community comes off so well in events like that. And it's a coordination and collaboration from so many different people. But it certainly puts in a very, very good light our community, our city, our softball program, and what softball looks like in this region. So incredibly excited to have it. I could not say more great things about Brad Pittman and our facilities and operations team. You know, Brad went up to Chicago last year and pitched Wichita as a home site for that, and they bought in, and he did a really nice job recruiting that event again with Josh Howell and his team to get it here. And I think we will be a mainstay in that moving forward, much as we have been with TBT. And really, guys, that extends to NCAA championships. Every 4 years, we put in numerous bids for championships within that 4-year cycle. And we're incredibly excited and optimistic about some new championships coming our way. So, you know, Wichita is a great place. We have a lot to offer from the fan base to hotels, restaurants, entertainment. You guys know I don't have to sell you on it, but it is a great place. And we're making a coordinated and collaborative effort to get as many of those types of events here as possible.
So I presume, we're talking with Kevin Saul, I presume you're not ready to tell us about any of those. I've got to ask.
Well, yeah, they're out there, and it's none of them are promised, but we were encouraged when we went up to Indianapolis to learn about all the bids. We showed the NCAA what we were planning to do with University Stadium, formerly Cessna, And they had encouraged us to submit a bid for the national championship. So we are optimistic about that. Obviously, you guys know that that lives in Eugene and has for a very long time. What may not be as well known is the college track coaches across the country aren't overly excited about traveling all the way up to the Pacific Northwest every year for a championship. So typically what they do is they'll do 3 years in Eugene and then do a year someplace in the Midwest, more centrally located. Last year that was at UT Austin. And then this past this spring, they were back up in Eugene. So we think that we might be in the running for a Midwest site. We believe we'll have a premier track and field facility for that when the time comes. And that would be a major coup for Wichita and for Wichita State to be able to bring an event like that to our place.
So, Kevin, I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you probably did, there was an antitrust lawsuit filed by some college basketball players, former college basketball players, including a couple at KU. And I don't know if this is drifting out of your purview into like a law area, but I just wanted to know what you thought of that, if it's realistic for athletes who are not at the institution anymore to be paid essentially for highlights and highlight videos and things like that. Is that realistic?
Yeah, I'm not a law expert there, so I certainly don't want to put ourselves in a bad position by getting too far out on a limb with that. I do certainly understand, you know, the House settlement has much to do with retroactive NIL. And certainly as that matter continues to proceed forward, we expect a ruling from the judge on that really any week now to understand what our obligation to that is going to be moving forward. But this is the type of activity, I think, guys, that you're hearing so much about in terms of, at the end of the day, the NCAA is a membership organization, and it runs 91 different championships. And part of the way that they fund those championships is by promoting through ticket sales and sponsorships and corporate engagements and all of those things. And obviously the student athletes have been a part of that for decades. So I think that there's certainly folks out there that sense that the NCAA might be in a weak position. But again, as they work through the House settlement and then understand what revenue sharing might look like moving forward, it's tough to really ascertain what these types of lawsuits, what grounds they truly will have in the courts. Obviously, we will soon see. But again, I think we've got to get to a sustainable model where whatever entity it is that has the ability to determine rules and regulations and then enforce them isn't subject to litigation every time they try to do so.
And getting to that sustainable model could be a little bit painful. Kevin Saul with us from Wichita State Athletics. So since you took on this job, men's basketball has been in a state. I wouldn't call it a state of turmoil, but certainly a state of flux and trying to win back the trust of fans and get them to buy in that men's basketball is going to be back and going to be successful has been a challenge for you and your department. How's that going? How do you feel like the trust factor has improved now with Coach Mills and starting his second year and people able to see now what he's been able to get from the transfer portal? Where do you think that is right now, Kevin?
You know, I think painting it with a very broad brush, I think that the trust is there for the most part. Again, this is a very broad brush, so it's dangerous. We may have some folks that don't fit into this mold that we're painting here. But I also think that there's somewhat of a wait and see. And I living it every day and walking with Paul and his staff and our administrative team, having done this for nearly three decades, I can see that we're headed in the right direction in terms of acquisition and retention of talent. We've talked on your show before, guys, the average American Athletic Conference school in our league has lost eight players off their roster, and we lost three. So you're seeing, again, we're not batting 1,000, but you're seeing retention at a different level, better than average. And I think that's good. I think you're seeing acquisition of talent and elite level talent at a different level than we have previously in the transfer portal. I think we've got some really, really talented young men and women on the women's side with Terry Nooner. They've done a phenomenal job bringing in some really great talent. And then I think if you're watching practices, you can see the competition on the floor within each position. It really has ramped up. And I think that speaks to any coach would tell you that competition at every position speaks to a really competitive team moving forward. So I don't know, Bob, that we're ever going to reach the finish line as it relates to your question, but we're going to continue to work at it really hard. You know, Paul's been doing probably three or four lunches with either myself or our development staff here in the off season. We had dinner last night, and we talked about this very subject last night. Is our firm desire to we understand we've got some work to do to earn trust all the way back. And we're going to continue to do that. And the primary focus has obviously got to be improving the product on the floor and then obviously connecting and engaging with our fan base. And we want to do that. So we welcome any opportunity. I rarely, if ever, say no to an opportunity to grab a coffee or lunch or dinner with folks. And we will continue to reach out. Despite popular opinion, we've been here 2 years and we still haven't met with everybody in the city of Wichita. We won't stop until we do so.
So, Kevin, real quick, just on the retention aspect of it, you don't seem like a person who would just arrive at a conclusion quickly or, you know, spontaneously. So I have to imagine there's data that you've seen that, hey, retention and as opposed to transfers and rebuilding your team every year. It seems like common sense, but what have you seen in that regard that tells you that this is the right way to build a team?
Well, what we've seen is older rosters tend to be a little bit more successful, obviously with everybody getting an additional COVID year. So you have a 22 and 23-year-old that you haven't traditionally had. So the age, I think, is good. I think you're better at whatever it is that you aspire to do. You're better in the second year than you are in the first, and you're better in the third year than you are in the second. So having guys that are coming back or young women that are coming back into your program, having already known the staff and the system and what you're trying to talk through and learn, the language that's associated with all those things, there's benefits in that continuity. If you look at there's two data points. If you look at nationally, about 2,000 players in the portal this past basketball portal window, and you look at that over 350 schools, and it's probably 6.5, 7 if you do the math. And then, as I just mentioned, in our league, the average team lost 8 off their roster because the American Athletic Conference is positioned uniquely. It's the 7th strongest league in the country. There's 32 leagues, and it sits at 7th. The Big East and the Power 5 are positioned above it, and then you've got 8 through 32. So what you see is kind of a transitionary pivot point where if young people are not successful in the American, they tend to shift down. If they're successful in the American, for the most part, we're seeing it in our league, an average of 8 players per team in our league have transferred off those rosters. If they're really successful, they're shifting up. So for us to be able to say, hey, we've only lost 3, as opposed to the 8. Now, you've got to retain quality players. So 5 of the 7 that we retained were top scorers from last year. So we're certainly returning some points. You've got a really, really talented point guard in Justin Hill coming from Georgia that was 3rd in the SEC in assist. He was averaged 10 points a game. He's a true point guard. You've got Corey Washington. You've got A.J. McGinnis. And I could go on and on about these guys, and they've had some real success. So I think, Jeff, it's a combination of retention, age, and then obviously acquisition of talent in certain slots where you might be deficient.
All right, Kevin, as always, we appreciate your time and for enlightening us and all Shocker fans. Thank you, and happy 4th.
Yeah, happy 4th to you guys. Thanks so much for having us on the show, and go Shockers.